It's the Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm John Munson. We begin a series of interviews with candidates running for Wisconsin's 1st Congressional District seat, which covers the southeastern part of the state. The seat is currently held by House Speaker Paul Ryan, who is retiring. First up, we talk with ironworker Randy Bryce, the Democratic candidate looking to replace Ryan. Randy, good morning. Welcome to the Morning Show.
Good morning, John. How are you doing? Great to be with you.
Well, first of all, why are you running for Congress?
Well, it's been 20 years that Paul Ryan has been sitting where he is, and the hardworking people of the district haven't been represented. And Paul Ryan hasn't had public town halls. He hasn't been listening to us, hasn't been responsive to us. And more recently, when he decided he was going to go after protections that were afforded by health care, I got to the point, you know, that's something very personal for me, being a cancer survivor. My mom has MS. My dad has Alzheimer's. I decided that instead of allowing him to repeal and replace our health care, it was time to repeal and replace him.
Well, for better or worse, a lot of people see this race as a referendum on the seat's current occupant, House Speaker Paul Ryan, who's retiring. Voters seem to have liked him. He's represented the district for nearly two decades. So how do you convince those voters in this district that change is what's needed?
Well, Paul Ryan has talked about his plans for protecting Social Security, as he calls it, but that was just merely privatizing it, turning it into a coupon care type system. And we just saw recently, after he gave away $1.5 trillion to the richest people in the country, I mean, this is a tax plan that 83% of the wealthiest people in the country were going to benefit from while on our backs. It's something that now I'm going to have to pay for tools on the job site. We can't deduct mileage. For working people, it's going to cost us more. But after seeing that tax scam, 1 week later, he came out and he admitted, well, now we have to make cuts to Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid. He calls them entitlements, but these are paid benefits that people have been contributing to their entire working life.
Well, in response to the ballooning federal deficit, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell recently said that the only way to lower that deficit would be to cut social safety net programs like Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security. That doesn't sound like something you'd be willing to accept. Why?
Absolutely not. These are things that help keep our elderly people out of poverty. A lot of people don't have pensions to rely on, 401ks. This is what a lot of people depend on. This is their lifeline to keeping a roof over their heads, to getting some kind of, you know, some amount of food on the table. We can't allow, it's one of the most successful social programs in the history of the United States. And nobody's done more to attack it than Paul Ryan and the Republicans. And it's the number two issue. It's following health care very closely behind is something that people desperately need and depend on.
So if cutting the social safety net is not one of the solutions for the deficit, then what is the alternative? Do we need to raise taxes? Do we need to find cuts elsewhere? What do you want to do here?
I want to stop rewarding the wealthiest people in the country who donate to campaigns that turn them from elections into auctions. There's no way that, this trickle-down experiment that started under President Reagan has been shown to be a failure. It's just contributing to the income inequality, and especially right here in Wisconsin, where the middle class is disappearing faster than any other state in the country. It's a direct correlation to these horrible, extreme Republican policies that they're jamming down our throats.
All right, well, let's talk about a few issues now, starting with the economy and jobs. You're from Janesville, a city hit hard by the Great Recession and the closure of the city's GM plant. As a member of Congress, how would you get people back to work?
Well, first, I'm from Caledonia, the other end of the district, but Janesville is in the district. And it's not just the GM plant in Janesville, but we also had an American Motors plant in Kenosha. It's an empty field now. We need to actually do things that are going to fight to keep American jobs here. The person that I'm running against has made a career of literally outsourcing jobs from Wisconsin to Mexico or China. We need to look, looking at tech jobs, and it's got to be some newer ways to get training to people as well, because once you're laid off and you don't have access, you don't know where your next paycheck's coming from, you're not going to have money to go back to school to get retrained for something. So that's why there's also a big focus on retraining workers, on educating our workforce, because to have the best educated workforce is going to make us competitive globally.
Well, let's talk about health care for a minute. During the last session, we saw a failed attempt at repealing the Affordable Care Act, followed by changes to the law. In your view, what needs to happen with that law or just health care in general?
Well, right now, we need to protect the things that are in place, you know, especially pre-existing conditions. And unfortunately, Scott Walker is directing Brad Schimmel, the Wisconsin AG, to force ahead a lawsuit that's going to take that away from so many people. I've been in favor of Medicare for All, and that's a system. There's even a right-wing study done by the Koch brothers that have shown, based on their findings, that we would actually save $10 trillion over the next few years if we had something like that in place. And it's the right thing to do. People deserve to have access to health care because right now, even if they are insured, they can't afford to use it. People are stretching out their medications, especially, you know, I'm hearing about diabetics that are stretching out their insulin so that because they can't afford to go get it as frequently as it's prescribed. Or a lady that goes to the pharmacist and she has to get 10 medications but can only afford 3. So she's negotiating with the pharmacist, which 3 do I absolutely need to stay alive? That's not an adequate way of administering health care. And every other industrialized country around us has some kind of universal health care. You know, if it's good enough for them, why isn't it good enough for us?
We're talking with Randy Brice, who's a Democratic candidate running in Wisconsin's 1st Congressional District. This is part of our series of candidate interviews on The Morning Show. Okay, besides the economy and health care, what do you think is one of the biggest issues affecting the 1st District, and how would you work to tackle it in Congress?
Well, a huge issue is our infrastructure, condition of our infrastructure. And one of the committees I'd love to serve on is transportation. With my background being a union iron worker, that's something I've done for the last 21 years. I'm constantly looking under bridges when I drive underneath them at the kind of condition that they're in. And our roads and bridges are in horrible shape. It's a great way to get people back to work, and our infrastructure is due. The life expectancy of the projects that were built was like 50, 75 years ago, and that was done. That's how one of the ways we got out of the Great Depression was by building it, and that turned us into a superpower. It's time to reinvest in the United States because it's due. It's due to be reinvested in, to have our bridges upgraded, roads upgraded, and it's also a great way to get people back to work.
The 1st District will call Foxconn home. Foxconn, of course, a company that received billions of dollars in state tax incentives to locate here. As a result, there are some mixed feelings about the company's presence in southeastern Wisconsin. So as the district's representative, what would you do to ensure that the state receives a good return on its investment?
Well, that's the issue that we have right now. There's nothing in writing that's saying that the people that paid it's $4.5 billion of taxes that they're receiving from the state government. There's no guarantee that Wisconsin people are going to benefit. That's why I went to testify when they were trying to repeal prevailing wage or project labor agreements that are able to be used on jobs that have state taxes attached to them. Because with those things in place, we're able to say, you know, we want a 30% participation rate of minorities from the area who are under or unemployed, so that we can get our people back to work, to make sure that those people who are paying the taxes are going to benefit from it. If good paying jobs are there, fantastic. But the people that are paying deserve to know how we're going to benefit. And I think that's something we also need to keep in mind, that we have to protect our environmental protections need to be kept in place. They want to use millions of gallons of water from Lake Michigan. I think that needs to be, we need to keep our eye on that. And as well as Illinois is threatening to sue us for air quality issues. So it's more than just the jobs themselves. It's going to affect the community in a lot of different ways. And if we're going to benefit from it, we need to have assurances, not only that people are going to be helped by it, but also to find a way to make people that need to benefit from it to be allowed to access those jobs.
We got about a minute or so left here, Randy. America is a divided country right now, and our political parties seem to represent that. That said, what role do you see, if any, for bipartisanship in this position?
Well, one thing I'm looking forward to doing once I'm lucky enough to be elected is to, you know, like do something to work with veterans. Being a veteran myself, I know what it's like being discharged, coming home, and struggling to find a job. I think we can find enough people on the other side of the aisle, Republicans and Democrats, who doesn't want to say, yes, let's do something to help veterans. Once we see that we're able to work together with the new Congress, that's going to help us move forward. It's not going to have us look at each other as adversaries. It's going to get us in the same room and get us walking together, figuring something out as Americans, because our veterans sure do deserve it. And we need help, not just physically, but taking care of ourselves mentally as well when we return.
All right, Randy, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
My pleasure. Thank you so much for the invitation. Hope you have a fantastic day.
Well, thank you. Randy Brice is an iron worker and Democratic candidate for the race for Wisconsin's 1st Congressional District seat. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm John Munson.